بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله the senior ulama that spoke before me spoke about the history and the significance and virtues and indeed this act as our MC has mentioned it is indeed a very very noble act of ibadah. And like with all ibadat, there are various rules that pertain to every ibadah. It is not just an act of qurban, it is not just a ritual that we do, a formality that is carried out once a year on the occasion of Eid. It's not just a festive celebration, celebratory act that we have, but it is an act of worship. It is an act of submission. It should teach us submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. It should teach us the lesson of taqwa and piety. It should teach us the lesson of sacrifice. Anything and everything that we have in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not view qurbani as just an ordinary act of slaughter. No, we should view it as a great act of ibadah. And just as we learn masail pertaining to every other act of ibadah, whether it be salah, whether it be zakah, whether it be fasting, whether it be hajj, similarly, qurbani also has specific masail and rulings, which is important for people to learn. And generally, we find people are oblivious of these rulings which potentially could compromise your qurbani and invalidate the qurbani as well. So this must be well ingrained in our minds that this is not just an act of slaughter. And as you rightly mentioned in the beginning, it's not just an act of charity. No. Charity is something else. Charity is, happens, your zakat is charity and your sadaqat and lillah contributions are charity. Qurbani is not a charity. Yes, if you take the meat of the qurbani animal, the entire animal, and give it away to the poor to eat, that's a different aspect of welfare and assistance. However, the actual act of qurbani should not be perceived. And there's increasingly a modernized thought of this nature that why must we take the lives of hundreds of animals, hundreds of thousands, nay, millions of animals every year on the occasion of Eid? That money should rather be taken and given to the poor and assist and uplift the poor. No. Qurbani is an act of worship. Qurbani is an ibadah. And upon whom qurbani is wajib, there is no replacement for it. You can give hundreds of thousands of rands in charity. And if you are not doing your qurbani, that charity does not equate this act of worship that we will be omitting. So we're going to, on this short program that we have in front of us, discuss a few masail and rulings pertaining to qurbani. It is impossible to encompass and go through all the different aspects of qurbani. However, we would just highlight on this occasion some important masail ranging from upon whom qurbani is wajib first, then selecting your qurbani animal, then the animal that we select, if it doesn't fulfill certain criteria, or if there are certain defects in the animal of any nature, physical defects, is such an animal permissible to slaughter? The importance of animal welfare. And this is, you know, it's amazing. We get the animal welfare groups today talking about emphasizing so much on animal welfare. And this is only happening for the last maybe 6-7 decades. However, Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had centuries ago, 14 centuries ago, already taught the ummah the importance of animal welfare. So animal welfare is also an important aspect because we deal with animals during this period. It's important for us to know. Then selecting the qurbani animal, What are the criteria that needs to be kept in mind? When to slaughter the Qurbani animal? You bought the Qurbani animal. When can you slaughter it? When does slaughter time commence? There are masail pertaining to that as well. How to do the actual Qurbani? How to slaughter the animal? Is anybody and everybody able to slaughter? So there are various masail, and we will just go through starting off from upon whom Qurbani is wajib. Now, generally, people have this perception that, you've got to be a wealthy person, have abundant wealth and lots of assets. If Qurbani, then only Qurbani becomes wajib on you. No. Qurbani is wajib, firstly, it's not wajib on children. It's wajib upon those who are baligh, those who have reached the age of puberty, male and female. You must obviously be sane, you must be adult, and you must possess wealth or even personal items in excess of one's need. Now, pay attention to this. You see, for zakat, you need specific assets. And then the other condition is that a year has to pass on that amount of nisab before zakat becomes wajib on your wealth. For purposes of qurbani, this is not the case. On the morning of Eid, if, for an example, you received your bonus salary in the month of June, and you've got that excess money, and that excess money is in excess of your needs, Qurbani becomes wajib on you if that excess money you have equals to the nisab value. Then Qurbani will become wajib on such a person. So a year doesn't even have to pass on that excess wealth. Then we all have even personal items in excess of our needs. The ordinary person has, whether it be clothing, whether it be household items, whether it be motor vehicles, whatever items it may be. But if it's in excess of our needs, then Qurbani becomes wajib on such a person if that excess items and commodities that we have is to the nisab value on the day of Eid. So we must keep the significant factor in mind when determining whether Qurbani is wajib upon us or not. Children who have not reached the age of bulugh, puberty, Qurbani is not wajib on them. Yes, if the parents wish to make on their behalf, it is acceptable. It is mustahab, in fact. But once the child reaches the age of puberty, children reach the age of puberty at an early age these days. Girls reach the age of puberty by that time they're 9, 10, 11 years old. Boys reach the age of puberty anytime before they're 15, 13, 14, 15. Once the child reaches the age of puberty and they have wealth, whether it be money that you've saved for them in their account, whether it be gold and jewelry that family people have given them, and it equals the amount of nisab, Qurbani is wajib on such children. So we must keep that in mind. And even if the child becomes baligh before sunset on the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah, and he has the nisab value, then even on such children, Qurbani will be wajib. Similarly, we must remember that if you're traveling, whether it's on Hajj and you're categorized as a musafir, there's a difference also. Lots of people that go for Hajj and are in Makkah for more than 15 days already, they're not musafir anymore. So on such people, besides the dam that you have to give, the slaughter and sacrifice of Hajj, Qurbani is also wajib upon you. Yes, however, if you're a musafir, if you're there for 8 days, 10 days, less than the prescribed period of 14 days, then in such instance, being a musafir, your Qurbani will not be wajib on you. But if you have the means, obviously it's an ibadah and a great means of reaping a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should keep these factors in mind. Then the Qurbani animal. Selecting the Qurbani animal. Which animals are valid for Qurbani? Which animals are not valid for Qurbani? it is important to understand that in every material need of ours, we look for and seek the best. We never go for second best. We all want the best for our material lives. Similarly, for our spiritual lives, we should also select and seek the best, healthiest animal that is available, the most beautiful animal that is available. And when doing such selection, do that purchase with an open heart. Don't think that I'm losing this 2,000 rand or 2,200 rand. No, do it with an open heart. Spend that on your qurbani animal with an open heart, and you will reap tremendous reward for that. For the qurbani animal to be valid, the animal also has to be of a certain age. From the species, firstly, we must remember that not any domesticated animal is permissible. It's only sheep, goats, cattle, lamb, camels. These species are permitted for qurbani. If you have domesticated a deer or any other animal, buck, you cannot make qurbani of those animals, even if they're domesticated. So these species must be kept in mind. And for the qurbani to be valid, the animal also has to be of a specific age. Sheep must be a year old. If it is a younger sheep, the fuqaha have written that if it is a younger sheep, it cannot be less than 6 months of age. And if you take that 7-month-old sheep or 6-month-old sheep and put them among the rest of the herd, you will not be able to say that this is a young lamb. You'd be able to say that, no, it must look like a year old. So that is a critical thing with sheep. And this is only applicable to sheep, not to goats. Goats must be a year old. They cannot be less than a year old. So this is a very important factor which people must keep in mind, and always query from the farmer that you're purchasing it to ensure that you are buying an animal that qualifies for qurbani. Cattle must be 2 years old. If the cattle is a year and a half or a year old, it may be very healthy in size, even if it looks very strong and big. But if it is less than 2 years old, you are not able to make qurbani of such cattle. Must bear in mind, and remember, if one person is bearing the responsibility on behalf of 7 other persons who have got a share in that animal, then the responsibility is even greater that we ensure that we don't compromise, let alone our qurbani, the qurbani of others. Camels must be no less than 5 years old. You cannot slaughter a camel even if it's 3 or 4 years old. It must be 5 years old. Understand this, that animals that are below the minimum ages do not qualify for qurbani. This is a very important aspect that we must keep in mind. Then the animal must be free of defect. When selecting the animal, see that it's walking normally. It's not limping. It's not injured in any way that it's not able to use one limb. The horns of the animal should not be broken from the root. Yes, if only a portion of the horn is broken, then the qurbani will be acceptable. But sometimes it's fallen and the horn is broken from the root, then it's a problem. Such animals cannot be, or even partially blind animals are not acceptable for qurbani. These are all physical defects which have to be kept in mind. Animals which don't have ears are also not valid for qurbani, either due to a birth defect or if more than one third of the ear is cut off for whatever reason, it might have got hooked on some barbed wire on the farm and ripped the ear off. If more than one third of the ear is cut off, then also such animal is not permissible for qurbani. The tail of the animal should also be intact. However, especially with sheep, farmers tend to cut off the tails to maintain and enhance the animal's health. In such instance, it would not be regarded as a physical defect, and such animal can be utilized for qurbani. Farmers generally also shear the sheep. So sheared sheep are not an impediment. Although it is preferred that the wool and our South Africa has merino sheep, so it's preferred that the animal is unsheared. But if it is a sheared animal, it's not regarded as a defect, and it would also be acceptable to slaughter such animal. Animal welfare is such an important aspect. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith warns us and cautions us not to even sharpen the knife in the presence of the animal that is being slaughtered. Now, so much of emphasis is placed not on physical abuse, but even this emotional trauma, which you could put the animal through by sharpening the knife in front of that animal. We must ensure that there's no stress, discomfort, and pain caused to the animal, either prior to the slaughtering process or during the slaughtering process. The animals that are transported, transport them in appropriate vehicles without overcrowding them or without putting them through undue stress. You know, tying them up totally, all the limbs up, and shoving them in the darkness of your boot. All these factors should be kept in mind. Hire a vehicle for the period, for the purpose of transporting your animal that is suitable for the purpose. The animals that are brought in prior to Qurbani, keep them in a clean, conducive environment. Give them food, appropriate food, clean water on a daily basis. Several times a day, change the water so that the animals are kept well, treated well, and so that we are not committing sin for an act of worship. Animals should not be dragged, and we find this happening also very, very commonly, that from the area where they are being stored to the place of slaughter, they are being dragged. There's 3-4 people dragging the animal. In a very comfortable manner, we should take the animal to the place of slaughter, prodding it along, walking along with it without causing any stress. Then we should not slaughter animals in view of other animals. So there are 5 animals that are waiting to be slaughtered, and we're slaughtering the 6th one in the presence of the others. So always try and keep a curtain or some partition so that the animals that are waiting do not see the animals that are being slaughtered. Knives must be sharpened well. And we've seen this happening all the time as well, where people don't pay attention to sharpening their instruments prior to Qurbani. And then there is the struggle at the time of Qurbani. It causes the animal great pain and suffering. We should avoid this incident. The animal must be, you know, people that we hire to slaughter, to skin the animals, these people should not be in a hurry to start skinning them. The animal must be become totally motionless before we start the skinning intervention. Otherwise, the animal will be halal, but you are causing undue stress, which is wrong in terms of the teachings of Rasulullah. Watch your animals being slaughtered. Great reward in that. If you're not skilled, don't try and slaughter the animal. If you are skilled and you know how to do it, then yes, it's preferable that you do it yourself. If you cannot, then rather stand by and watch your animal being slaughtered by somebody who is skilled and trained. The slaughter process is also very fundamental and very important, that we know where to slaughter the animal, where to place the knife, how to slaughter. You can't bring the animal laid down and start reading from a kitab all your du'as, no. At that point, if you do not know the du'as, then at least just say Bismillah, Allah Akbar. Obviously, then the niyyah is fundamental. If the niyyah is not made for Qurbani, and the niyyah is in the heart suffices, in the mind suffices, the most critical thing is to read your Bismillah, Allah Akbar at the point of slaughter. So bring the animal in a calm and dignified manner, place it on its left side, preferably facing the Qibla. Do not beat the animal. Do not bang the animal down. Place it nicely on its side. And the person that is doing the Qurbani should read the Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, facing the Qibla and slaughter the animal in a swift manner, with a firm, swift, deep cutting incision. It shouldn't be a sawing motion that you suffocate the animal whilst you are slaughtering it and strangle it in the process. The slaughter should be done horizontally from ear to ear, on the throat area. And the most important thing we should remember is the two blood vessels on the side of the esophagus and trachea, that's the food pipe and the windpipe, must be severed. A total of four. It's the food pipe, the windpipe, and the two blood vessels, which are very, very critical, which we should keep in mind when slaughtering. If you are slaughtering a cow with seven people, understand that sharing the qurbani equally amongst the seven people is absolutely vital. Otherwise, the sin of usury and interest will come into play. So ensure that those that are, even if it is family people, don't say, no, we make you maaf. It's not the aspect of we make you maaf. Be absolutely vigilant about weighing and ensuring that seven equal parts are given out and distributed to the seven shareholders. One portion for yourself, one portion for family, and one portion for the poor. Even if all is taken and given to the poor, it's permissible. Or even if all is taken to the family and consumed within the home, it's permissible. You cannot give any part of the animals. People assist us. We hire people to assist. We cannot give them any part, whether it's the meat or the hide or the trotters or the head, as remuneration. Please be very, very circumspect. Rather pay them first and then give them whatever additional portion of the qurbani animal one wishes to give them. And in closing, I'd just like to mention one very important thing, and that is that we should try and make our qurbani, take responsibility for your acts of worship. Ensure that you do the qurbani yourself. People generally look for sending the qurbani away to poorer countries. As I said, it's not a charity. And if we are doing this, if we feel we have to send the nafal qurbani away, most certainly do so to assist people in those parts of the world. However, ensure that you give it to reputable, like you would seek reputable organizations to discharge your zakat. Make sure you give your qurbani to reputable organizations that are doing qurbani abroad. There's been lots of incidents reported of fraud that is happening in this regard. So great care be taken, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our qurbani, accept our sacrifice, and may He imbibe within our hearts and souls the true spirit of qurbani, which is submission to the will of Allah and placing our wealth and our lives ready to be sacrificed whenever there is a call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.